We're looking forward to the testimony meeting. If you want to testify, you can use the little the bottom of the screen, the raised hand, so Brother Jim can see that you are waiting to testify. But if you don't want to do that and there's nobody else testifying, feel free to speak up and we'll turn the meeting over to you, Brother Jim.
I'll try to just be brief here at the beginning, but in our Lord's last words to the brethren in John chapter 13 to 17, it says that if ye know these things, blessed are ye if ye do them. And similarly, taking off from that is our manna text for this morning. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So, now, if you don't have anything to be thankful for, I won't ask you to testify. But if you do, please express it to the Lord and also to your brethren. Who would like to be first? Yes, Brother David.
Well, Brother Jim, I'm delighted to be with everyone here today. I had an experience yesterday, I mean, late last night, that triggered me to think perhaps, you know, we would mention it to some of the brethren. There is a couple in Kenya. Their name is Brother Wilson and Sister Sarah Ndakwa. They're very active. They're very earnest in their service. I've known them for probably somewhere between 10 and 15 years. But I haven't been really close to them for a long time. Sometimes in Africa, you don't know really who's earnest and who's not. So when I had some difficult experiences where I was quite disappointed, and turned out that we were misled by people that knew the truth well there, but were not really faithful to its principles. Our work in Kenya started to taper. And that's when I made contact with Brother Wilson again, knowing that he was an old contact. Some of you remember Sister Chai Darmstadt. I was very close to her, and she was very helpful in some of our activities in Kenya. She would write and encourage them. It was wonderful. So she was close to them as well. I remember at the time, years ago, she said of Sister Sarah, whoa, she seems very energetic. And I wasn't sure whether the reports I was hearing from Sister Sarah were tainted or honest. Well, they were honest, I now know. I've been working with them for the last several years. These people are sponsoring 4 Zoom service meetings weekly. Now, just last night we had one. It started at 10 o'clock my time. It ended about midnight. It was with a new group, never seen them before. They got up early. They walked Sunday morning to find this place, to meet with this place, and it was just delightful. We went through the chart of the ages. Now, wherever they go, they bring a display-sized chart of the ages. And then we have a Zoom service where we explain the chart of the ages, and the reception was just delightful. They were just so pleasant a group and so thankful to hear about the kingdom, and they were just joyous about it. And it says they wanted special explanation for the 4 groups during the gospel age. And they said, looks like most Kenyans are on plain P. We want to be M and N, which would be the church and a great company. And it was just delightful. But my point of giving this testimony is that we have more such services than we can handle. We have on the average once a day, on the average. Brother Lagno and Brother Dolan are helping. They're taking a service every week. And Brother Todd seems to be ready to take a service every week. But we have more. We have more on the agenda. So I would like all the brethren to know that there's an opportunity for them to lead a weekly study if they wish to with a fresh, brand new group. You can introduce the chart of the ages. You can kind of get a rapport with these people. And it would just be a wonderful way to continue the on-growth work of the truth there. So don't hesitate. If you have an interest in such a work, let me know, and we will match you up with a group that would like to have your service by Zoom. Now, I want to indicate also a little more. I saw that Sister Jeannie Comer was online here. I just happened to see her name. And I just want to mention that she is also deeply involved with sister studies in Africa. And we really appreciate that service. And I have learned recently from Brother Joe Dolan, who keeps me apprised on things in Africa more than anybody else, that there are 3 and maybe sometimes 4 radio programs every week conducted by Kenyans or Ugandans, brethren that know the truth. And these are very productive. Real recently, we had collectively, I'm not involved. I just know about it, that there were 4 pastors who heard a radio program that said, we want our congregations to be involved in understanding this truth. We want them to be truth, brethren. Recently in Uganda, I believe there was an immersion service of 7 people. That included Brother Jackson's son. I know Brother Jackson well. And a number of others who are recent inductees through the radio. So there's just a lot of activity. And if anybody wants to be involved, there's a way for you to be involved. Joe Dolan can help you with that. If it's teaching, I can help you connect with a group. So thank you. I'm just delighted at the opportunity. Zoom has really opened up so much. And these brethren, they're just wonderful, engaged people over there. Thank you.
And thank you, Brother David. And will not be the first time that a group has come in among us. A long time ago, over 100 years ago, there was a group in Providence, Rhode Island, an Adventist church there, not Seventh Day, but they came in among us en masse, and the most prominent name would be Randolph Elwood Streeter, the one who wrote the Revelation volumes. And then since that time, too, it's happened. It's happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I think it was, and in Beloit, Wisconsin, and Greencastle, Indiana. And we're delighted to hear about the new interest in Africa, and anything that each of us can do to encourage them, by all means, let's do. So who would like to be next? Does nobody have anything to be thankful for?
Brother Jim, greetings.
Yes, Brother Mark.
Well, you left one out here on the West Coast, I think, if we were talking about the same thing. I remember, I think it was probably in the 50s that San Luis Obispo, the brethren were fellowshipping together in one of the local churches, and Brother Paul Davis came into that meeting hall and was teaching the adult Sunday school, I guess they called it, or adult study that they had. And that seemed to work out with a local brother pastor for many years, or for a few years, until they had a change in pastors. And they asked Brother Paul to leave or no longer teach. And instead of doing that, a great group of the brethren went with Paul and they started their own meetings. So they're just another example of that. And so we have that in the history of the Davis family that we can look back on and enjoy the fellowship of so many of the San Luis Obispo brethren for many years. So I was just also going to mention one thing. You know, we've been talking with Brother Bob Brand and Brother David Rice and trying to look at the possibility of having the local LA class and the San Diego brethren meet together in person. You know, I was thinking of the scripture in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And we realize what a wonderful blessing it is for the Zoom meetings that we have. And as Brother David expressed, and how that has opened up so many avenues. But there also is that personal fellowship that we do much appreciate in the in-person gatherings that we have. And we're doing that here in Los Angeles, meeting once a month. We have our normal Zoom meetings, but also meeting in person and meeting at different brethren's homes around the LA area. And we're also trying to arrange a meeting in the mid part of February where we try to meet with a local San Diego Brethren or the LA Brethren, not a big convention, but meeting at our home here at the Davis home. And we're looking forward to that on February the 12th next year. And Brother David and Brother Bob both said that what they look forward to that opportunity. So we'll be working on a schedule for that. So I just want to let the local San Diego Brethren know and the LA Brethren that don't know, they're all invited down to our home or up to our home on that day in February 12th. So just wanted to bring that to the Brethren's attention. Thank you, Brother Jim.
Thank you, Brother Mark. And just to add a little bit more, it was at the local Presbyterian Church in San Luis Obispo, and the youth group was called the Schooners Club. Mm-hmm. And many of you will remember two of the prominent names, Homer and Grace Hamlin. And
Elfrida Croker.
That's right. She's another one. And we could name several more, but of that group, it was 15 of the 16 in the Schooners Club that came out with Brother Paul Davis to start the San Luis Obispo congregation. Perhaps one of the better known members of it was Joseph Russell Land. You might recognize something of that name because he was Brother Russell's nephew. And who would like to be next? Has no one had an interesting experience to share? Yes, Brother Martin.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Jim. Yes, I'd just like to thank the Heavenly Father for all his goodness toward us. It's the time of Thanksgiving. And we just consider what he's doing for us. Just consider the plan of the ages, how it's working out, and in our own lives as well, how he's working in us. And I think the various different lessons that we have, we know that they're teaching us things and strengthening us, giving us confidence to trust in him more. And you know, we're all leaky vessels and everything, and my personal experience has been a very leaky vessel and a very big Jacob, struggling, wanting to wrestle all the time. Jacob, wrestling. But that's an experience in itself. The Lord's there with us in that wrestle, and we know that as well. And I'd just like to thank the Heavenly Father for really condescending, in the sense, coming down just to work things through for us on an earthly level when we're in this leaky vessel. But he's actually developing and teaching us spiritual things so that we can enter into them. The best part of all is getting peace and rest from our faith, because we can have faith and not have the peace or the rest. But when we're given that treasure of rest and confidence by the Heavenly Father, we grow stronger. And I can't explain you can't explain everything, but I'd just like to thank him for all those things and his greatness through Jesus our Lord, who is present with us. And just having them present with us, and Fred and myself, we have the privilege of study together. The Lord's provided everything for us. We don't want for anything, actually. And I'm learning valuable lessons here with Fred. So we're just having a blessing. I'd just like to share that with you. Thank you.
And I thank the Heavenly Father for you.
Good.
Yeah. And Brother Joe. Joe Dole.
Dear Brother Jim, are you able to hear me all right?
Very well.
I noticed there was a slight pause in the action, so I threw my hand up, and I want to take this opportunity to truly thank my Heavenly Father and the Lord of the harvest, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's been times when I've had a little difficulty seeing them, but it's only because I've moved away from them. They've never moved away from me. And I just want to echo a little bit on Brother David's testimony that over the Thanksgiving holiday, there's going to be a convention in Kenya in an area, a county called Turkana. This particular county is one of the more impoverished areas of Kenya. I've been there, and a lot of your brethren that are there are actually living on the ground. They don't have doors and windows and running water and such, but they're living very much the same way that many people lived during Jesus's time here on earth. I'm mentioning this because their zeal and love for the truth and their enthusiasm is unquenched by their living conditions. It's the truth that unites us all together. And so I just wanted to echo that a little bit and send love from your brethren who I don't believe they're online, but Brother Gregory Beloga and Sister Gina Beloga want their love sent. And they're in need of your prayers. They're getting a little bit older. Brother Gregory has some challenges now. He's had many challenges throughout his life. And presently, he's dealing with some health and mental issues. Sister Gina is taking wonderful care of him, but it's not easy for them that they wanted their love sent. And so to give someone else a chance, I just want to thank again the love and steadfastness and great mercy of our Heavenly Father towards us, and ask for a continued interest in your prayers as we remember you. Thank you, Brother Jim.
Thank you, Brother Joe. And yes, I remember Brother Greg and Sister Gina Beloga quite well. Brother Greg has given me several thoughts and experiences which have been an encouragement in my life. And who would like to be next? Let's not wait until the last minute when there's only 60 seconds to go. And yes, Brother Tom.
Yes, Brother Jim. Just thought I would share a couple of stories about that relate to similar to what others have just talked about. Years ago, when my brother-in-law is a Methodist pastor, and I was visiting them one weekend, I think Jan was probably with me, and they had the Sunday evening service, and I went with him to his church service that evening. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, maybe that wouldn't be profitable, but one never knows. So I went, and someone who heard me say some things in the gathering that they had came up and said, you know, I have a friend that I think has those same thoughts. And long story short, ended up getting in connection. And this was Sister Valerie Rochelieu from Two Rivers, Wisconsin. And so we had a lot of fellowship over the years with her. And contact. She's gone from us now, but she told me her story, and she had been the adult Sunday school class teacher at the church prior to the time my brother-in-law became minister, and she said she was getting just uninspired by the standard materials coming out from the Methodist church, and she was looking on her bookshelves at home. And for maybe some other source, and found a book called The Divine Plan of the Ages, and said she does not, never to the day when I talked with her, she doesn't know how she came to have that book on her bookshelf, but she started using it and teaching out of it. And one time someone was in the class spoke to the pastor that maybe some unorthodox things were being taught, and the pastor came in and sat in on the class that day, and Sister Valerie was talking about that there's no hell or eternal punishment, and cited a lot of scriptures along that line, and then said, wouldn't you agree, Pastor? And he says, I'd like to see you later after class. And that was the end of her teaching the adult Sunday school class at the church, and she was gone. We were glad to make a connection with her, but it came through that same church and my brother-in-law, who was pastor at the time. And so we were glad to have her fellowship. The other story, just quickly, I've talked in some of my discourses and in fellowship that I volunteer to drive seniors to medical appointments and such in our community. And last Friday, I was talking with the lady as we were driving home, and she brought up things about the Bible, and we started having a question, and I had to carry in all of her groceries and to her home. And then she said, can I show you my theological library? So she brought me in to show me her bookshelves, and gave me a couple of books that she had extra copies of, and I said, well, you know what, I'm going to mail you a couple of booklets that I have called What Is This World Coming To and Why God Permits Evil. And she says, oh, I've really always wondered about that last question. And she said, I'll be glad to get them. Well, then later that day, I looked, and they were looking for someone to drive this lady again on Tuesday. And I said, gee, I don't even have to mail them. Tuesday, I will give these booklets and we'll have some more conversation. So we never know where we find an opportunity to connect with the Lord's people. So I just wanted to share those as a way of encouragement. They're certainly an encouragement to me. Thank you.
That's a wonderful experience. Perhaps not so fortunate as in San Luis Obispo, where the Presbyterian pastor was enthusiastic because he'd never had such an enthusiastic youth group. And Brother John and Sister Rachel.
Greetings, brother. Oh, I'd just like to raise my voice in praise and glory to the Heavenly Father and a thankfulness for our Savior, Lord Jesus, for all that has happened, you know, in my life and for, I know, each and every one of us as a group together. And so I just wanted to give my reality in the fact that I'm retired now. So I've joined the ranks of some of you individuals. And so I look forward to being able to travel more to see more brethren and as the Lord permits. God bless.
I'm glad for that information. And that's good news. I got tired of being tired, and that's why I'm retired. Who would like to be next? While we're waiting, I'll just cite an experience from some time ago. I attended a luncheon, and the speaker was Charles Blair from, I think it was Denver, Calvary Temple. And his title was Blessings in Bankruptcy. He said that things were going so well in the church. The congregation was building up into the thousands. And so we started a radio ministry. But I was even getting proud of it to the point where my wife could see it. And then as we added this radio ministry, and there were thousands in the radio ministry, it was getting to where my children can see it. And finally, it was to the point where my congregation was beginning to see it. And then I came to the church one morning and found it padlocked. We hadn't been watching the bottom line. But he says, I thank the Lord for that bankruptcy, because now I too can see it. Now, perhaps some of us have had a similar type of experience. But things that are to our apparent detriment can sometimes be very much to our long-term advantage. Who would like to speak up next? someone who has something to be thankful for? Well, now, if nobody has anything to be thankful for, did I see one coming on? Yes, Sister Nancy. Nancy,
how? No, I didn't plan on testifying, but I hate to have this time pass. Two issues, and it's all about being thankful. John and I have two friends who, one just lost her mother this morning, and it's our chiropractor, and we have tried to say bits of truth through the years, but she never responds. And we do plan on going to the funeral, so we will see if anything develops, because her mother, it was her rock, is her words. And then the second one is, before COVID, we used to attend a diabetes support group, which is not a boo-hoo, woe is me. It was hugely stimulating with fabulous information, more than I could even comprehend. And we developed some associations with a very small group within the group. And we continue to text each other and reach out, trying to have Zoom meetings when everybody's around. And in that group, there's a woman in her late 50s who met her husband in medical school, and he developed ALS a few years ago, is progressing rapidly downhill. And I mean, her whole adult life, she's been with her husband. And recently as this week, I sent her the two scriptures in Ecclesiastes that I was aware of that speak of the permission of evil. And I also kind of was pretty direct about a very short message. I don't like overwhelming people. And the interesting thing to me is she's reading a book by someone that John recognized as being mentioned on TV. I don't even remember the author, but and when I gave her my little explanation, she said, oh, that was similar to what this lady said. And I thought, well, I doubt that, but so anyway, along those two lines, we continue to look for the possibility of being a comfort to both of them. But the main part, this is the week of Thanksgiving, but a Christian should be joyful every day. And I just came across, and I'm guessing I came across it on Facebook, which is my way of keeping in contact with brethren and a group of people who are diabetic like I am. And I try to encourage them, because so many people speak of dying any minute and being very negative. And I've been on insulin over 52 years. So I try to encourage them about technology and everything. But I'm also, I'm trying to think what my train of thought was there. But anyway, I think I might have seen this on Facebook or somewhere. There is a man, you can look him up. His name is Zion Clark. He is the fastest man on hands, because he was born without a lower body. His mother abandoned him at birth, and he is like a motivational speaker. I don't think he actually goes out to do that, but he's so positive. And I've always wondered how people who don't have the truth are so upbeat and positive. But I looked at him and I thought, wow, you know, he's abandoned by his birth mother. And then he was adopted later in his life. But how a person like that is so upbeat. And what do I have to complain about? Well, somehow there was a link, and I somehow got to this other link about a young man who had a forklift accident, and he had to have his whole lower body amputated. And I haven't seen posts about him being as upbeat, but he's moving forward. He married the girlfriend that was his girlfriend before the accident. And I'm looking at these people in the world who are going forward with their life, with things that are much, much more extreme than anything going on in my life. And I think, we have like innumerable things to be thankful for. And I just want to share that a number of years ago, I came across one of our brethren who was extremely depressed. And I also happened to come across a few books about depression and keeping track of your positives each day. And I don't remember the details now, but they've done studies that even if you write down for a week or a month, the good things that are going on in your life, it has tremendous benefits, even when you stop doing it, and, you know, health benefits, mood benefits. Well, I gave this one of the brethren who was depressed a book that suggested writing down minimally three things a day, but as many as 10. It provided space. And I decided whether this one of the brethren did this or not, I was going to try it. So I did it for an entire year. And it makes you on the lookout. And I quit after a year, and then I realized I missed it. So every day before I go to bed, I don't always hit 10, and sometimes there's more than 10. But even the previous comment was about the brethren in Africa and what they don't have. I mean, even the fact that in a cold environment in Michigan, we have heat and a roof, I mean, that doesn't leak. I mean, we have so much to be thankful for. And I really would like to hear other brethren sharing what they're thankful for. Thank you, Brother Jim.
And thank you, Sister Nancy. And it reminds me, people with a positive attitude usually are those with not much on their consciences.
I do have to also say, when John does something nice for me, it's an ongoing thing that I tease him that he just wants to get in my book.
Very good. And Brother Michael Castelli.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I just want to raise my voice in thanksgiving to my Heavenly Father for the privileges that he's extended to me over these 47 years of consecration. These Zoom meetings and like this convention today have been a real blessing. I've appreciated the testimonies, the discourses, and even the humor jostled about between the different speakers. It's a wonderful thing to be associated with the Lord and his people. And I can't give him enough praise, but I just wanted to let everybody know that down here in Mississippi, we're somewhat isolated, but we're not now because of technology, and I'm just thankful for that. So I ask an interest in your prayers and continue to pray for all of you.
And I'm glad to zoom in on you anytime. And Brother John Asifi in Nigeria.
Yeah, thank you, my dear brother, for giving me this opportunity. It's unfortunate that I was unable to join at the start of the convention because yesterday there's a convention in Ghana, which I participated fully. And today, we don't have electricity. And my phone ran down. My battery was dead. So it was recently, that was about an hour ago, that 2 hours ago, that I charged my phone. So I don't want to miss this convention. But I charged my phone about 2 hours ago. Then I just joined at the end of the discourse. So I was able to, you know, join during this testimony meeting. I'm very, very grateful to Almighty God for the technology that make things easy for people from all over the world to participate in these conventions. So I'm very, very, last year I participated in this San Diego convention. It was a blessing, but unfortunately this year I was unable to participate fully. But I say thank God that I was encouraged by the testimonies of brethren that I had. So I thank you so very much for giving us this opportunity. to partake in your convention. It's a blessing. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Brother John. We've appreciated your fellowship during some of our studies from time to time, and have good memories of those too. Yes, we have reason to be thankful for Zoom.
Yes.
And if there is no one else now, I think, Brother Keith, I can turn it back to you again.
We'll turn it back to Brother Bob.
Oh, Brother Bob, okay.
He said your name, Keith. Okay. Thank you, Brother Jim, very much for leading the meeting. Much, much appreciated. Some delightful testimonies. And our closing hymn, or the one that Brother Jim selected, is number 152, A Thousand Years. And we'll ask Brother Jim to close with prayer after the hymn. Jim, please.
Our dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy wonderful and most holy name. We thank thee for the privilege of knowing thee and thy dear Son. We thank thee above all for the sending Jesus and his sacrifice for us and for all. We thank thee for the blessings we've received in this life, the experiences also that are necessary for our development. We would ask that thou give us opportunities to share with others the wonderful blessings that thou hast in store for us and for all mankind. And be with us now for the continued session of this convention, and that we may leave refreshed with a desire to serve thee more and better. We ask in Jesus' precious, most worthy name. Amen.